former college hoops coach, of course, ESPN analyst, Jimmy Dykes with the Bull and the Fox. Jimmy, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well. Our family's staying safe, and I hope it's the same for all you guys up there.
Yeah, we are doing well. We're, as I like to say, we're quarantining together. But, you know, the more people that stay home, the better we'll all be in the long run, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, man, such an odd, surreal time in our country that we're all going through that just it almost seems like a dream still at times. But
bizarre.
Man, if we can all just, fight like we're supposed to fight and do everything we're being asked to do, then certainly that'll help our cause in the long run. I do believe that.
Jimmy, it's hard to believe that less than 3 weeks ago, on a Thursday at noon, St. John's and Creighton started that
Big East game,
right? And then it gets stopped at halftime. And here, and you know, who would have thought the NCAA tournament? When you, as these things were developing, what was your reaction? And now to the point where, like, yeah, no NCAA tournament. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was standing in Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee, getting ready for, I guess, the quarterfinal games in the SEC tournament. They're supposed to tip at noon, and I was on the first two games with Carl Ravich, and we got word about an hour and a half before that opening tip that the SEC tournament was canceled, and then we quickly went into doing some stuff for SportsCenter and just kind of describing what's going on in Nashville, and then over the course of the next two or three hours, we saw the NCAA tournament get canceled, and our life changed, you know, like everybody else over the course of 24 hours, just all the different cancellations that started flying our way in the sports world and getting home and our daughter's school being canceled and how it quickly escalated. So, you know, it's something that none of us, I think, could see coming, you know. And I think our country's doing everything they possibly can in the right way. But it's a war. It's that invisible war that's been described to us so well that we're all fighting against. But you know, it was an unfortunate time. You feel bad for those teams that had special seasons like Dayton and Gonzaga, and Kansas was having a terrific year. I love the Seton Hall team. And you feel bad for those kids that didn't get to play in their NCAA tournament as a senior because that time's not going to come back for them. But it was certainly the right decision to be made looking back. Maybe it didn't feel like it at the immediate time within the first hour after the decision was made. But, man, it was obviously the right thing, and I appreciate the leadership that got out in front of it.
Yeah, you're right, Jimmy. I just still feel so bad for those seniors that won't have the opportunity to just go play in a tournament game, whether it be a team that was going to go in as a 16 seed or, you know, a team that was going to be a number one like a Dayton who may have had their best season ever, and they can't even have that opportunity. There's nothing they can really do for them at this point. I mean, it just kind of sucks. They had to – you know, go through this process. Do you think there's anything they could do, or is it just done?
No, it's done. And, yeah, you know, the spring sport athletes that were seniors, they're going to get the opportunity to return to school, which I think is the right thing to do. But, you know, we have to realize basketball-wise, we're just two or three days away from only 68 teams remaining for the NCAA tournament. I don't know if there's going to be some in the NIT, but for the most part, man, our college basketball season was coming to an end. And, you know, you hate it for those kids, but if you step back and maybe you have to take three or four steps back on this one to get a big picture view of it all, if that's the worst thing that happens in your life, that you think you got that taken away from you, man, what a blessed life that's going to ultimately be. I'm not saying that's the case, but you feel bad for them, but things happen in life that we can't control, and you got to control how you control those moments. And I think that's a very important lesson for all of us right now.
All right, so Jimmy, you mentioned what they're going to do for spring athletes. It seems like we saw a report yesterday that NCAA is going to try to let these kids come back. I guess the question is, where's the money come from for the scholarships for a baseball team, a smaller school? You know, is the NCAA going to front that? Are they going to get provisions for 1 year to try and get them back on track? How do you think that plays out?
Well, it seems like that's still going to have to be worked out, you know. And the thing about those spring sports is very few of those teams – track, softball, baseball have, you know, the full scholarships for the 30 or 40 man roster that they have. So the money number is not quite as big a concern as just the roster space, probably, because you've got commitments that you've already made for your incoming freshman class or junior college transfers that committed to you back in the fall or the early signing period. And now you have seniors that say, "Coach, I want to come back." So it's going to be a roster management move by all these coaches right now to figure out, you know, how does all this fit together? And I haven't seen any recent news right now that says they're going to allow rosters to be bigger than what the NCAA allotment is. Maybe that's going to be the case for a year. I don't know. I'm not in the details of it right now because my mind's wrapped around other things. But there's a lot that goes into it, and certainly hope those kids that let's say that you're a senior baseball player and you want to return to your school, and the coach says, man, I'm sorry, we just don't have room for you, you know, with what we've got coming in. And so hopefully those kids will have the opportunity to go to another school and play right away, the same way with any of those other spring sports. You hope that's the case. But, man, there's so much right now just swirling. It seems like every 24-hour period, those leaders, in not only in our country but in athletics and different organizations, they're just, man, they're making decisions on the fly. And I spend a lot of my time in the Southeastern Conference, and I just got a text message right before I came on with you guys saying that the SEC spring meetings, which we've all gone to for years and years in a row, they've been canceled. So it's we're not close to the end right now. I know that.
We're talking with Jimmy Dykes of ESPN, and you know, listen, the NCAA, you're right, it's not, it is complicated, because what do you do if you have too many athletes coming and you had a bunch of seniors? But I think however they have to do it, the NCAA needs to figure out a way, even if it means for 1 year, you know, some teams are bigger than the other, I don't know, but nobody should lose a scholarship because of this, whether it's a kid returning or a kid that was coming in as a freshman, I think. I mean, there's got to be a way to figure it out.
Yeah, there does. This is going to have to be a time that they can't follow the letter of the law. I think right. the common sense index is going to have to weigh out heavier than anything else. And you just hope that those people in position of leadership in the NCAA, the conference commissioners, university presidents that have input in this, that they will understand what you and I are talking about, that, man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime situation, and we have to all adjust and be flexible and get through whatever that timeline is. I don't know if it's for 3 more months or 6 more months or a whole another calendar year. I don't know, but we're going to have to be flexible and use some common sense in a lot of areas. I do know that.
Jimmy Dykes is with us. Jimmy, you know, one of your colleagues at ESPN, Kirk Herbstreit, was talking about even college football and NFL could be threatened here. That's kind of crazy to even think about that. And he's not wrong. I mean, it's an idea that I think that they have to certainly talk about, the NCAA and in college athletics and conferences and all that stuff. But, I mean, it's just wild to think, you know, moments ago, a week ago, we were thinking, man, we'll get Major League Baseball back. You know, we'll get, you know, some of these spring sports going, and then they're all done. And now we're talking possibly – you know, football. I mean, that would be nuts. But everything's on the table right now, Jimmy, don't you think?
Well, yeah, when you think about college football, I mean, those guys are completely on their own right now. I know several head coaches in the SEC, and I've talked with them on the football side of it, although I'm a basketball analyst. Yeah. And, you know, their concern is they're all their kids are at home. They don't have access to a 24-hour fitness or a place like that because all those gyms are shut down. So their own athletes are losing that physical conditioning that you have to have at that level of college football. And when do they get them back on campus? How long is it going to take to get them back to game shape and game ready, and the injury factor that all plays in? And, you know, you're talking about throwing 120-plus guys in a locker room at least twice a day, you know, here within the next 4 or 5 weeks. I think we're a long ways from that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that was the kind of the nature of Kirk Herbstreit's comments, was when you stop and think about how's this realistically going to look and how's this going to work for a team that has to have, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever it is, to prepare for a season, and you back that off the calendar compared to the date that we're at now, and you think, are we going to be ready for this right now? It's all of a sudden there in front of us, and you just don't know about what the fall sports are going to look like, you know. And we've all lost a lot when we lost our sports, but hopefully in some form or fashion it'll also maybe redirect our perspective in life and what we place the most value on. You get things taken away and you get down to the bare essentials. Sometimes there's some good that can come out of that.
You bring up a great point. You know, I was thinking about this the other day too, and I was mentioning with some of the NBA players and their conditioning. I mean, not every player's got a full court gym in their house where they can run and they can't scrimmage right now or do anything. The conditioning is going to be huge. I'm thinking about, like, you know, if I got some big offensive linemen who have trouble keeping their weight on, I mean, you have players who played at 300 come in at 255 and have to try to get that weight back on. And, boy, Jimmy, I played college football. I mean, you can't just do that overnight. It takes months, you know, to get that going. So I think that is maybe where Herb Street's concern comes from, and I agree with you. I think that is a very valid concern.
It kind of seems like the only fall sport that could pick right up and just run with it would be literally runners, like cross-country runners. Yeah. Like they're all out on their own right now, putting in their summer mileage or whatever it is. They're 8, 10, 15 miles a day that they run, and they're doing it on their own, and there's no social distancing factor involved for them. But, man, all those other sports, when you start talking about having to be close with one another and the conditioning factor and the strength factor and the weight loss factor, there's a lot that says I'm not sure this thing would start on time at all right now in terms of the 2020 college football season.
Jimmy, I'm curious. You know, I know this is not going to happen. We talked about the ship being sailed already, but let's say in theory, August 1st is the day that life gets back to normal. Unrealistic, and I don't think it's going to happen in one fell swoop. It's going to be a layered thing probably, but in theory, like as complicated as it would be, could you in theory play the NCAA tournament then, or is that just would be too impossible?
No, I think it's too impossible because no one has practiced. Like those guys are gone, man.
Yeah,
and even the thought of initially let's have a 16-team tournament, you know, 3 or 4 weeks down the road, that wasn't going to work. Because teams can't practice right now, you can't be together. You can't have any type of workout at all, and that's for the just the health and recovery of our country, which is far more important than any tournament. So,
sure.
The 2020 basketball season is gone; it's behind us. You know, I think at every level, yeah. And now we have to turn our thoughts towards okay, when do we start back up, and what sports season is that going to occur? And obviously, the next thing in front of us is there any hope of saving the Major League Baseball this summer? And quickly, absolutely. Right behind that is college football and the NFL. Right.
Yep. Jimmy, if there is, we don't know if there'll be an NBA draft, but if there is an NBA draft this year, the Cavs will have one of the top picks. Obviously, they are hurting for young talent. When you look at the guys who are going to come out, you know, some of the top players in college this year, who kind of stands out to you? Not necessarily they can help the Cavs, but just in general, the guys who will be near the top of the draft board this year.
Yeah, there is no Zion Williamson or Ja Morant in this class. These guys that you know are going to make an immediate big-time impact. I just don't think they're out there. There's a lot of risk factor involved right now with guys that are mentioned at that top level, whether it's the Anthony Edwards kid from Georgia, James Wiseman from Memphis, who we only saw play a handful of games. The ball kid who's overseas, who battled through an injury late. I place a lot of stock in Obi Toppin right now from there in Dayton, probably not too far from you guys, just because I know what I'm going to get. Like, I know that kid is going to produce. I know he's going to produce consistently. I think his game translates to the next level. And I've seen mock drafts, some that I don't trust at all, some that I do, but I've seen him anywhere from number 2 in the draft to number 12. And I would certainly have him a whole lot closer to 2 than I would 12, based upon the numbers that he's in there with this year and the talent and the uncertainty that surrounds all of college basketball this season. It was uncertainty within teams. And now you factor in that you're not going to have the pre-draft workouts, and so much of this is going to be done off of scouting that's already taken place, off of film breakdown, off of phone interviews. I think this is a time that you can't afford to gamble, and you go with what's solid. And I think Obi Toppin is probably about as solid of a good player that this draft has to offer.
Jimmy Dykes is with us. Jimmy, love your work on ESPN as a commentator, as an analyst, and certainly love your insight on life. Your book, which is recently came out, has a foreword by Reese Davis. It's called The Film Doesn't Lie, Evaluating Your Life One Play at a Time. Tell us about that and where we can find it.
Yeah, you can find it pretty much anywhere. I mean, other than the bookstores are closed down right now. It was in the Barnes and Nobles and all those places, but the best place to get it is online through Amazon or the Barnes & Noble website and all those places. But, you know, it's a book that really challenges people right now. And I wrote the book last summer. But I think the timing of the book is really good for us right now. It challenges people to intentionally read through a book that's going to challenge you to create space in your heart and evaluate some really key areas in life. And how does that align with God's written word and how we're called to lead and to live a life based upon God's written word, the Bible. And I have a lot of there with John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams and Gus Malzahn and different players that I've been associated with over the years of ESPN with 25 years. But that book is that's a faith-based book that I think really is pertinent right now. I think the timing of it is outstanding. I talk about how to go through a drought, and I think we're all going through that time right now in our life. Like, a drought is just a hard time, a difficult time that just kind of can come up on us. And I think there's a right way to go through those times and a not so right way. So the book was it was laid on my heart to write. It's and I've been given a tremendous platform and stage with my job at ESPN, but I'm just a normal guy like everybody else. I'm a husband and a dad and trying to raise my family the right way and, you know, trying to live a life that I feel like God's called me to live. And so I just write straight from the heart. It's real talk with just from a guy that I never went to any type of theological seminary or Bible school or anything like that. I've just been knocked around by life's lessons and what God has taught me in my own life. So I've gotten a lot of great feedback from it. Every college football coach and basketball coach in the country got shipped a copy of that book. Had a couple people that wanted to get that done. And it's in the hands of a lot of folks right now, but it's a challenging read. It's an easy read. I mean, you're talking to me. I don't use big words. It's an easy read. And I wrote every word in that book. It's an easy book to read, but it's a challenging read. But it's kind of make you stop and reflect on your life and that kind of the path you're going in some different areas. And I think it's a good thing for all of us to do from time to time. That's when real growth occurs.
Jimmy, good luck with the book. Good luck with the staying safe, you and your family. We appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much,
guys,
for joining
have
us.
Have me on some other time. I love talking to you.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy,
thank
so
you.
Much, man.
Thank you.
Thanks.